The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Give glory to your Son, so that your Son may glorify you, just as you gave him authority over all people, so that your Son may give eternal life to all you gave him. Now this is eternal life, that they should know you, the only true God, and the one whom you sent, Jesus Christ. I glorified you on earth by accomplishing the work that you gave me to do. Now, glorify me, Father, with you, with the glory that I had with you before the world began. I revealed your name to those whom you gave me out of the world. They belong to you, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you gave me is from you, because the words you gave to me I have given to them, and they accepted them and truly understood that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for the ones you have given me, because they are yours, and everything of mine is yours, and everything of yours is mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I will no longer be in the world, but they are in the world while I am coming to you." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. For the next 3 days, your gospel reading is going to be from the Gospel of John, chapter 17. We just heard the beginning of it right now. So I'll give you a little bit of the context. It's the Last Supper, and it's Jesus' prayer to his heavenly Father. Longest prayer Jesus ever prayed that's recorded in all the scriptures, and he's praying for his apostles, for all of us, and goodness sakes, this is an important prayer, and it deserves a closer look. So you want to understand what you just heard today. You want to understand it in light of the wedding feast at Cana. Okay, so let's go back in our imaginations and remember what happened at the wedding feast of Cana. You remember how they ran out of wine. And the Blessed Mother came up to Jesus and she says, "Poor things, they ran out of wine." As if to say, "Hint, hint, son, I want you to make them some more wine." And what did Jesus say in reply to the Blessed Mother? Do you remember? He says, "My hour has not yet come." And what did that mean? It meant, it's not yet time for me to show the world who I really am. But at her request, he poured forth an abundance of the finest wine imaginable. Okay, so now come on forward and let's remember what we just heard here in the gospel. What does Jesus say here in the gospel? He says, "My hour has come." In other words, it is time for me to reveal to the world who I really am. And what did he do right here at the Last Supper? Poured forth an abundance of the finest wine imaginable, and beyond what you can imagine, his blood for the forgiveness of sins. Understand, Last Supper and Calvary are numerically one. The entire passion encompasses both. What does he pour forth here? His blood for the forgiveness of sins, the finest wine imaginable. But what I want you to do is to connect this to Cana. Understand Calvary as a marriage feast, and you'll get a real insight into what's really going on. Because what happens at a marriage? Two become one by means of a covenant, right? And what's happening at Cana? What's happening on Calvary? What's happening at the Last Supper in Jesus' passion? The two become one by means of a covenant, the eternal covenant poured out in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. Who becomes one? Jesus becomes one with who? With his church. Please understand, Jesus has a lady, okay? Jesus is not a bachelor. He's got a lady. He's got a bride. Who's Jesus' bride? His bride is the church. His bride is the spotless bride of Christ, the church. Like any real man, he lays down his life for his lady. And how does he do that? He does that on Calvary, okay? That's the union that he says, He says, eternal life is that they should know you, Father, and they should know me. What kind of knowledge is he talking about? What, is he talking about cognition? Is it something you can study from a book? No. He's talking about the knowledge that you only get with the deepest of all relationships, right? I mean, marriage deepness, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a deeper knowledge, a deeper union cannot be envisioned. Here's the question of the day for you, though. How do we enter into that union? How do we enter into it? Now, if you know your catechism, you could say, well, Father, we enter into it by means of our baptism, and you'd be right. And you might say, well, we deepen that union by means of our confirmation, and you'd be right. And say, goodness sakes, we deepen that union by means of receiving the Eucharist, and you'd be right. But is that the only way we enter into it? Is that the only way we enter into it? Let me give you an analogy to answer that question. Think about a marriage. How do you enter into a marriage? What do? You exchange your vows, right? Once you exchange your vows, you're married. But is that all there is to it? Try to imagine a marriage that all they ever did was exchange vows. It's all they ever did. How deep would that union be? Not very deep. Would they be married? Yes, but I mean, technically. Jesus enters into the depths of his love union with his bride by entering into the cross. And guess what? Guess what? That's how we enter into a love union with God as well. Jesus says to his Father, give glory to your Son, here in his prayer. Very next thing that happens, Jesus dies on a cross. What the heck kind of glory is that? Did the Father answer his prayer? Yes. What we need to understand is what the Bible means by glory. It doesn't mean your name in lights and radiant, glowing glory and lots of fame and honor. What's glory mean in the Bible? It means to make known. Jesus' prayer is answered. He's made known for who he really is, suffering and dying on the cross. That's the real meaning of love right there. And since you're made in God's image and likeness, guess what your real identity is as well, right there. Brothers and sisters, we have a real important lesson to teach the world, a real important lesson, and that is the meaning of the word love. The world thinks love is a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling. We know better. We know that love means sacrifice. We know that love means my life for yours. We know that love means the cross. That's Jesus' identity. That's our identity too. Let's pray it in here so that we can live it out there.